Think about something very simple. Imagine you're moving to a different place, and in the move, you lose something, like a couple of shower rings. Well, imagine instead of having to go to the store or ordering the rings from a manufacturer, you just go to your computer and design one, or simply download a model and print them out. East Carolina University in Greenville has 5 3D printers on campus, and we went there to find out what they're being used for and exactly how they work. Stephen O'Connell has this.
Go online and you'll find all sorts of fantastic ideas to demonstrate the potential of 3D printing, from a lunar base to the perfect shoe for your foot to food, and even printing a 3D printer using a 3D printer. At many colleges, they're experiencing a more modest use, developing prototypes or models for students and manufacturers. I went to East Carolina University last week and spoke with two professors responsible for 3D printers on campus. Professor Ranjit Agarwala, who is studying for a PhD right now, told me that he uses the 3D printer for students in his engineering and technology classes and has done some work for national companies that manufacture in North Carolina.
For example, a couple of years back, Cahen and Tarbro, they manufacture computers for Honda that come down and ask us to make a computer casing for them.
A 3D printer's technical and less fantastic term is a rapid prototyping machine. Professor Agarwala tells me at the beginning of our interview that Dr. Rick Williams was the horse or white knight who got the machines on campus. Williams has been working with the printers for the past 10 years, including time at Auburn University in Alabama. He has a box of gadgets and trinkets with him, including a wrench, a turbine blade, and brackets he uses for resistance tests in his classes.
So the tolerances aren't that great, so the wrench itself, although it's functional, you can see it doesn't necessarily move back and forth real smoothly.
The black wrench is made from ABC plastic, the same used to make Legos. The high-resistance plastic is shipped to them in string form, in spools, like a knitting ball.
I mean, essentially what happens is this machine melts the plastic and it runs through an extrusion nozzle that extrudes it down about 0.001 of an inch in diameter, and it prints almost like a glue gun, one layer at a time, in 0.001 of an inch increments. And so the build platform moves down every layer 0.001 of an inch, or there's 100 layers per inch. In the build.
For the name given, the printing process isn't rapid. The newest wrench has been printing for an hour when we get to the shop, and Dr. Williams says it will be a half hour more. Although fully assembled when printed, there's another disadvantage, most especially for the aesthetically minded engineer.
You see on this little model here, because you get layers, you end up getting this called stair stepping that occurs. So anytime you have a curved surface, it's not going to be perfectly smooth.
Despite some obvious disadvantages, the opportunities the technology affords are striking, and the downsides are easily dismissed. The technical term that describes the type of engineering employed is additive manufacturing. Rather than its more widely used opposite, subtractive manufacturing, 3D printing uses materials that are recyclable and cheaper because it's built from scratch, so material is not wasted. But when it comes to the price of the printing machines, figures vary widely. A home version about the size of a toaster can be purchased for $2,000. The machines that Dr. Williams and Professor Agarwala use are in the $50,000 range. And as Dr. Williams told me, the prices don't slow there.
There are machines out there that are upwards, and I haven't looked at them in, as far as prices, probably in 6-7 years, but upwards of $1 million that the military uses to a lot of repair parts. They can do titanium, repair turbine blades, basically using lasers and titanium powders.
After watching the wrench print for a few minutes longer, Professor Agarwala takes us to the shop where the machine he operates is. This machine resembles an incubator. It shuffles a powder back and forth on a surface. On top, you see a colored outline. The object is being printed underneath.
So what it does, it takes this 3D CAD model, okay, in color. So what you're seeing right now is actually this layer being printed, all right? And you can see, if you come here, you see how that is laying a glue, okay, laying the powder, and then injecting that glue on top of it. You see that? The color, and then putting another layer.
This machine manufactures an object with considerable more detail and color. The trade-off for the beauty and detail of these objects is that they are usually not functional. The engine model and the Cleopatra head he gives me are virtually useless. And as opposed to the plastic's almost instant readiness, this machine's post-processing requires more time. As Williams put it, the object becomes something of an archaeological dig when completed. Professor Agarwala finishes it with a super glue material which strengthens it. Despite the two machines' differences, they operate off the same principle. Layer by layer, the material is binded together into an object of their design. Dr. Williams and Professor Agarwala agree that most satisfying is its ability to help their students.
A lot of my students, actually three or four of them, are in jobs that their job profile is just printing, using the 3D printer, you know, for electronic industry or something like that. So I get a kick out of it to see that, you know, what they're actually learning in the class, they're actually earning a living out of.
Professor Agarwala has one student who is attempting to build a 3D printer from scratch. He's using off-the-shelf products, and Agarwala says the student's ambition is to have one in a home for $500. Dr. Williams is excited about its power to make ideas something you can hold.
Yeah, I think similar to Ranjit, it's seeing a student where they'll design something in CAD, and I think a lot of times when you're in the CAD environment, it's hard to see scale. You can zoom in, make it as big as you want, make it really small, and the picture's worth a thousand words, but I think then if you have, 3D model, it's worth a thousand pictures.
When I asked about students' access to the machines, Williams says students aren't trained to operate them. And although it would only take a few minutes, he says what's important is mastering the computer-aided design, or CAD, software. Williams says he doesn't use the printer very often because they don't have the manpower to do so. While they both seem to agree that a lack of resources was one of the biggest problems in utilizing the technology to its fullest, I sensed an underlying issue, one that is unfortunate right now but exciting for the future. I sensed that maybe they don't really know what to do with the machine. But as you'll see, very soon, 3D printers may be building homes, even a lunar base, constructing firearms, engineering body tissue, reconstructing evidence for police investigations, and rebuilding artifacts for archaeologists. Stephen O'Connell, Public Radio East.